Amen. Amen. I need the mic. Because we're actually not done with our days of dedication yet. And that means that I'm going to be continuing to seek prayers and insights from you here today. So as I'm talking and doing the recap of what's been going on, I want you to think about what the Lord might be saying to us yet still in this service today about what the direction of Bradley Epworth is, what God's doing in our midst, just offering either a word, a scripture, or a prayer along those lines. So this is what we've been doing. If you haven't been to any of our evening days of dedication, this is what we've been doing. You can hang on a second, Glenn, because I'll call you up. Faithful servant, he's on it. We're going to talk about some of those things, and I want to look in the scriptures and at the time when Solomon dedicated the temple so that we can get kind of a sense of what happens when people, you know, dedicate and what happened then so that we can sense, okay, what's happening in us now when we do this and we walk through this together as a community. And the exciting thing to me is that because of the size of our community, we get to do this. You know, if we were a huge church, well, that would just be unwieldy. But because of the size that we are, we can actually stop, and on a Sunday, we can say, so what are you hearing, and what are you hearing? And the whole congregation gets to all hear it at the same time. And I hope there's some folks there on the live stream, because we got some empty seats here, which means you're probably watching from home. God bless you. I know it's cold. And by the way, for those of you at home, we're going to do communion today, so you might want to find some bread and some juice of some sort so that you can join us when we do that at the end of the message today. And we're going to give enough time for people to come forward, as Kelsey was saying, to get their scripture promise cards and the blessing. And I'll tell you what, we have had some really, I have experienced some very awesome and amazing God words that have come through those scripture passages and that we've been giving to people. It's just been like, wow, this is awesome. Wow, this is amazing. God is amazing. His word is amazing. And my personal one was amazing. And I'll share more about that probably next week. So stay tuned and come back. I also have this really cool thing here. This is on my podium, so I'm going to say something about it. But this is a picture. We were asking our kids, you know, to just kind of pray and see if they get a picture from God, right? And we got one last night, and it was, Eileen? That's Eileen? Eileen did this, and it's a picture that God gave her for Bradley Epworth, I'm thinking, right? That was the assignment. Anyway, it's a dancing lamb, and it's she took it from that lamb up there, but this one's dancing. And the rocks are singing, so it's just a picture of the joy of the Lord and the dancing of God and a rock concert. Sorry, but you know it's kind of clever. Okay, so is she back there? Is Eileen back there? Oh, Eileen, you're here. Okay, come on up here, sweetie. Yeah, come on up here. Talking about your wonderful picture here, you should be here. Mommy can come too. All right. So this is Eileen. Welcome, Eileen. And she's been part of our days of dedication. And what made you think about this lammy dancing?
I don't exactly know.
Great. That's a great answer, isn't it? I like that answer. We should answer that way more often. I don't know. But it's really cool. And you were looking at that lammy up there, right? And then you had the rocks smiling, and so they were singing, right?
Yep. And that's what that was.
What?
They were singing.
Oh, that's the singing coming out of there. Oh, yeah. And there's another rock with singing coming out, right? Yeah, so it kind of looks kind of joyful. Yeah. Is that how you felt when you did this?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I felt like that yesterday.
Did you last night at our service?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun, huh? The lamb looks like it's happy. Is that lamb happy?
Yeah, it does look happy. It looks like it's jumping for joy.
Yeah, it does. It looks like it's jumping for joy. Thank you. That awesome. Yes. Thank you, Eileen. Thank you. That was awesome. Thanks for coming up here. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what, we were having a rock concert last night, weren't we, Glenn? We had all the kids up in front here, and they had djembes and bongos and just sticks. Like these little frogs that you're supposed to go clunk, 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 and they have, but every frog comes equipped with a stick. So you've got a bunch of little boys and a bunch of sticks. And Glenn's up here trying to lead worship, and it's going bang, 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 bang. But in the midst of all that chaos, there was something so beautiful. There was something so cool. There was something like God, I think you like this. And then we go back in Jesus' time of what Eileen was actually drawing there was when Jesus came into Jerusalem, and they said, hey, you should stop the people from crying out like this. And he said, if I stop them, the rocks will cry out. So that's where she got that, right? But the other thing was, it was like, you know, they said, do you know what the children are doing? The children are singing. You tell the children to stop singing. And Jesus was like, no, it's from the mouths of children and infants that God's going to speak. And there was just something about Jesus' tolerance. You know, it's children were singing. I'm sure they weren't singing like on tune and you know, in sync and like a little choir. I don't want to picture a little choir of children going, Hosanna, Hosanna, right? I picture, you know, chaos. And we had it here. it was like, wait, we got it. But God's pleasure in that day of those children crying out, I felt, you know, was here in the room last night as our children just enjoyed and, you know, just ran back and forth and ran through the flags and just had fun and just had freedom. And if I invited you to come up this morning and I'm going to hold a flag for you and you're going to run and duck under and laugh and giggle and go back and forth, you would say, no way, right? I would say no way if someone invited me. But the children do it with freedom because they don't have the self-consciousness about what will people think or what will I look like or, you know what I mean? Our hesitation is always based on what we think that will be perceived to be. It's never if we were one-on-one and we were in a room and we felt the joy of the Lord and we're all by ourselves and there's nobody there to see us and we started jumping up and down and singing and dancing, we would do that. But as soon as you enter another person, because we, as adults, have learned to be self-conscious. And they haven't. And God says to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. And he says, and unless you become like one of these before me, you won't get in. Those are pretty, I mean, I don't know if Jesus was serious about that. But I have a feeling he was serious about everything he said. I don't think he joked around or was tongue-in-cheek or, you know what I mean? I mean, he did joke around, but he was serious then. So it's like, we need to take these words and see what they mean for us. So let me read in the scriptures here a little bit and talk a little bit about what we've been hearing, and then I'm going to open it up for you to add to that. There's my scripture card. We had a really cool thing happening that just fell on the floor, Randy. That when people came up for scripture cards, a lot of times they would just fall on the floor, right? And it would fall on the floor, and we'd pick them up, and it would be like, oh, that is perfect. That is amazing. Praise God. So the Spirit was here knocking cards out of our hands in order to get what he wanted instead. All right, so I want to read just briefly here from 2 Chronicles, where they had finished the temple, the first temple. Solomon built the temple. David couldn't build it. He said, no, your son's going to build it. And Solomon gets the temple built. And they have a dedication service, and they wanted to, you know, bring this temple before the Lord. And so every year we want to bring this temple before the Lord, right? This building. But we're more than a building. We're not just a building. It's like Glenn was saying today, let's sing this as a community, you know, like, that our hearts would be with God. And our hearts, plural. So we have a temple that's being built out of us. Peter says in his letter, he says, there's a temple being built, and we are the building stones. All right? We are the building stones of the temple, and there's a temple for God, a spiritual temple being built. And that's us. And so when we look at the temple dedication, we're thinking, yes, of Bradley Epworth, but Bradley Epworth isn't just a building. In fact, primarily it's not. We have a building, but the real Bradley Epworth is the community. We are the building stones. And what Bradley Epworth is us. And so so this is cool. So they're doing the dedication. And when they got to the point where they were ready to do the dedication, Solomon stood up and he said a prayer over the whole assembly. And he said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hands has fulfilled what he has promised by his mouth to my father David." So there's an acknowledgement of this being a fulfillment of the promise of God. And so when we come together to dedicate our church, which is us, all of us, our families, our hearts, our all of our people, we are saying, "God, the first thing we want to do is tell you, thank you, because you have been faithful to your promise in our lives and in the community that you have built around you." And then he started to pray. It says he spread out his hands towards heaven and he said, "O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way." And I want to say amen. That is us, right? Okay. And then he goes on when he finishes his prayer. It's a long prayer. I'm not going to read it all. But he says, "Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." Awesome. Isn't that awesome? Like, okay, we want to dedicate us to God in 2025. And we start by saying, "Now, God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." I mean, we could stop there and we could rest there and we could say, "God, just, you know, open your eyes. Open your ears to what will rise up from here, you know, in prayer and intercession in the year ahead and even right now. And just, God, hear our prayers. God, hear our prayers. Let this be a place that, well, like we put across there, that didn't come with this building. We put that up there, and it was, "My house shall be called a house of prayer," because we really felt that God was asking us to be dependent on prayer, a place of prayer, a people of prayer, a reputation of prayer, so that we always are saying, "We can't do this. In all humility, we can't do this. We can't do anything unless he does it in us and through us." And that will take prayer. Allison, did we get something from the... Okay. We're waiting. We may have a special thing we're doing at the end here with the children with prayer today, and they're checking it out and seeing if there are any kids down there who are willing to do that. But anyway, so then he says that, and when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven. Do you remember us singing fire, right? "Let your fire fall." Wasn't that it, Glenn? "Let your fire come down." Yeah. Fire from there to here. And he says, "Let your fire come down from heaven and consume," and it did. It came down from heaven. The fire came down and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. And when all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." And there was an earlier incident of this same thing, and that the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because the cloud of the glory of the Lord had filled the temple of God. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for that, okay? That the cloud of the glory would fill this place, this temple, and the temple of our hearts, Lord. And you know what? It's so cool, because I knew I was going to be talking about this, and then I talked to Cynthia this morning on the way in. Remember Cynthia? And I said, "Can I share that story?" And the story was that last Sunday, when you came up for prayer, you correct me if I'm wrong, like interrupt and say, "No, that's not right, Tom." But when you came up prepared, you felt the cloud of the Lord come over you. Yeah, and...
it's been with me ever since.
See that? And didn't... what was it that happened when you were 4 years old that you remember?
Oh, the Sunday school teacher said, "You know, Jesus is your best friend." Oh, I thought, how exciting. So I made him my best friend. And I had him there my whole life. And then recently, when I lost the sight of my eyes, I felt he had abandoned me. And that's when I called to you gentlemen that kindly came out and prayed for me at my home. And I came to the church here, and then last Sunday, when I was up there and during the singing, I just felt his hand grab my, because I said, Jesus, you're so far from me. And I felt my right hand grasp my left hand and squeeze it so tight, and it stayed there all through the service. And then whenever I forget that Jesus is with me, I feel my hand grab my hand. So that's a great blessing. And I thank all of you for the energy you bring to this place that have helped me lift me up.
Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Let's hear it for Cynthia. And it just, she felt a cloud come over her, and it's been with her ever since. And I think, okay, well, let's, Lord, send your cloud, send your glory, you know, fill this place. And so as we go through our dedication. And so at that point, and I want to stop, and I want to share just some of what has been happening. As Kelsey said, there was a lot of things, and we started our days of dedication, and we just felt the presence, and we cried out for the presence, and the presence was here. And it reminded us of Moses in Exodus 29, when he said, Lord, we're going to go up to the promised land. I'm going to take your people up there, but if you don't go with us, if we don't have your presence, don't send us. We don't want to go. I don't want to take your people up there, because if we don't have your presence, what will distinguish us from all the other peoples of the earth? And it's like, we should be saying that too. Like, God, I don't want to be church without your presence, right? Because if we're not, if the presence isn't here, we're just people doing what people do. And all sorts of people can get together and do things that people do. It's when we do things that people can't do, that eyes turn to God and say, how can this be possible? How can they do what people can't do? Because we can't, as a person, I can't put my hand on Barb and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus has to do the healing. I can't heal her. I can't heal anybody. And it's like Jesus has to do the healing. And so it'll always have to be him and his name and his righteousness and his power, not mine, which, praise God, that's good. And so we wanted the presence and just the presence and worship and being poured out and being living sacrifices. It's so cool in Romans how it talks about, or Paul is talking about becoming a living sacrifice. And the words he uses are so cool. I'm going to read them to you really quickly here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, because God has been merciful, to offer your bodies, your life, right, who you are, your life, as living sacrifices. Now, living sacrifice, a sacrifice is something that's been killed, right, and put on the altar, you know, but this is a sacrifice that you don't kill. It's a sacrifice that comes alive. And it's like our lives alive is the sacrifice that Paul is talking about here. It's a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your spiritual act of worship. And so a form of worship Paul's talking about here is the living sacrifice of our bodies, because he is worthy of it. He is worthy of our sacrifice. And that's what came in that night as we were singing and the songs all coming together. And it's like, he is worthy, he's worthy. He's worthy of breaking the alabaster jar of our lives out and let it be poured out. And Paul says, I feel like I am a living sacrifice poured out for you. And my life is just poured out. And it's like, Jesus is worthy of that. And then we got someone who shared with us that they were praying at home while we prayed here. And the words that they were getting were hope and children and some scripture passages about the children and about being young and about taking on the yoke while you're young and just having the praise of the kids. And I think there was something that kind of started there in me, at least, but I think also in our church, than it has to do with the children. There was something about children and the children, which we didn't really totally grasp until last night when the children were, you know, kind of given free rein to take over the service, kind of. But it was like, oh, no, there's something really good here. There's something really good. There's something from God in this. So Betty, who brought us the word on hope and children, that was coming from the very first night all the way through then to the end. And then we had somebody remind us that God had spoken to our church, and this is important, that God said, I believe he said, and nobody has told me that they think not, but to prepare for guests. And one of the things that I think it was Randy said, prepare for the little guests, not just the big guests, but prepare for the little guests. So when a little guest comes in, how do they get received? And what is there for them, you know, right? And it was just like, wow, this is good. This is really cool. And then children, oh my gosh, the energy, the joy, and the freedom. And I'm just wondering, God, is that something that you want all of us to have? Energy in the Lord, spiritual energy, joy in the Lord. Is God calling us to be a joyful place? Would that be a burden? Oh, we got to go be joyful. Realistically, I know that life is hard and the fallen creation can be brutal, right? And let's get real and be real Christians, not pretend like, you know, there's a fantasy world out there that nothing bad ever happens. It's not true. It's a fallen creation. Jesus said you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. And good cheer, what does that mean? Be of good heart. Be encouraged. One of the versions, the older version, says, don't lose your joy. I've overcome those things. Don't let those be the things that, you know, right? But focus on what I've done. So what if we were a place, what if God was calling us to be a place of joy? I think he is, because I think that's one of the signs and one of the characteristics. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We all know that. We're always called, you know, first of all, to be loving, right? And loving one another is how the world will know that you're a follower of Jesus, by how you offer sacrificial love for the people around you. But joy, love, joy, and where do we find our joy? And anyway, there's a thing. And I think we're going to find it if we follow the children. If we look at the children and we see the children and we know that a lot of those children didn't have a good morning, they didn't have a good day. There's a lot of things they cried about on the way to church. But when they get here, the joy of the Lord is their strength, and here they are. And to such belongs the kingdom of God. And the picture of the lamb dancing and the rocks singing. In the scripture passage, the hills will sing and the trees will clap for joy when the redeemed of the Lord enter into the holy city, Jerusalem. So like past times, we take all of these things and we consider them and we pray about them and we see what God is saying and how he's leading our church. So I want to just pray for a moment here and ask Holy Spirit to speak to anybody here about something they're feeling or a prayer that they'd like to offer for Bradley Epworth. So Lord, send your Holy Spirit to be with us now so that we can have a continuation of our days of dedication, of listening to you and listening to the Lord and hearing what you say and following you. You said, my sheep hear my voice. And so here we are, Lord. We are your flock, and we know that we hear your voice, and we ask you, God, to show us what that is. Thank you, Lord. If you have something, just raise your hand and I'll come around and I'll hold the mic up to you, just like I did with Cynthia. If there's anything at all that you feel like the Lord is saying to us as a church or a prayer that you'd like to offer.
I've had this week Psalm 100, but I just haven't really felt the timing of it. But I do kind of feel it for us today as a prayer for us at Bradley Epworth. Bradley Epworth, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Bradley Epworth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made all of us here at Bradley Epworth. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter, Bradley Epworth, into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Bradley Epworth, the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations.
Amen. I like that ending. To all generations. Yes. Rejoice in the Lord. Praise God. All right, Cindy Ann.
Well, this has kind of been with me all week because I had seen an illustration in the Word of the woman with the issue of blood who just reached out for the hem of Jesus' garment, and it showed just a thread. And I felt like he said this morning, and I wrote it down, that, you know, remember the thread of his garment. And that's, I feel like this whole thing and many things that have happened to me just personally this week have been in the thread. And it's as he's weaving this body of Christ together in so many ways, the children, you know, the people who come, Cynthia, you know, my Cindy Lou, she's Cindy Lou, I'm Cindy Ann, and we're good friends, huh? Yeah, and just what he does, the whole weaving of, it's, remember the thread.
That's cool. I was just thinking about how you were at the cancer center in Washington, and you were getting a shot, right? But you saw
a report.
All right, praise God. Good report. But here's, it's so cool. So she's sitting there and with Jim, and they're watching the video, right? And Kelsey's on the video. And Chris. And Bethany was on there at one point. And Kelsey's on there as someone who has, you know, gone this journey of cancer and healing. And praise God, here you are. And just kind of I just thought, here's Cindy Ann sitting there, and then here's Kelsey on the video, and just, right? Just. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, wait a minute. I know, that's it. That's just it. God is so cool. Right. All right, David. Hang on.
I just feel the Lord's prompting, just to, even as we were speaking, you know, about God's presence, and really one of the distinguishing factors of a Christian should be the movement of the Holy Spirit among us. You know, that's our gift, right? And Jesus said that if anyone asks for a good gift, the Holy Spirit, that God's not going to deny him, right? If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone, et cetera, right? So I just feel prompted to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. And when I get to the end, if that's your heart, if you want a refreshing, a renewal, a filling of the Holy Spirit, then say amen and agree with that prayer, okay? All right, so Lord, thank you that you promised the Holy Spirit to your children, God. It's a distinguishing factor. If you have the Spirit of God, you are sons of God. That's what you said in your scripture, Lord. And Jesus, you encourage and exhort us to ask for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to ask, seek, and knock, and to believe that you will give it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for the Holy Spirit to be released in a greater measure, God, this year, upon each of us individually and upon this church body corporately. We ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, God. Release it and loose it from your throne in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, I say yes to that. Just praising God.
A couple words that the Lord is putting on my heart are birthing and building. Several days ago, before I woke up in the morning, I got a moving picture of Joseph and Mary coming down the aisle of the church. And I asked the Lord what that meant. And it,
He said, well, Joseph is looking for a place for the Christ child to be born. And it was also that Joseph was looking for that that place where he could stay and rest and be accepted, and his wife too to be accepted. And I felt like it was like the Lord confirming the new guests to come in, and that we would receive them and welcome them with open arms. And also the birthing was that Mary was bringing in something new to the church. Jesus, the Christ child, was going to be born. And what a thrill that was for us. The other thing was that the Lord was building something new. A lot of us, maybe most of us, don't like change. But I felt like, and I've talked to a number of people that have felt like the Lord is doing something new here. He's building something new. And I just felt like the Lord said, I'm not changing anything. I'm building on a strong foundation. This church has a strong foundation. And Larry this morning used the phrase that the Lord was building brick upon brick. And maybe there's some new bricks that are coming and being built upon. But just not to fear what the new thing is that God is doing, and receive it and say, yes, Lord, you are building your church. Thank you.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, and during the service last night, I kind of had the thought about a popcorn popper, and, you know, like the bottom of the popcorn popper, like the old-fashioned kind where there was oil, and then you pour in the popcorn, and it all just kind of sits there for a while, and then they start to sizzle, and then one pops, and another pops, and then they just keep popping and popping until the lid comes off of the popcorn popper. And that's kind of what I saw here at Bradley Epworth.
All right, get ready to sizzle, you guys. And when the first one pops, there's going to be a whole lot more. Cynthia?
Yes, when you said the word children, what came to my mind was for us to, as adults, to also honor the child in the coming year within ourselves.
Yes, very good. The children within us. Amen?
Just regarding new things and promises, a couple of scriptures have been standing out this week, reading through the Old Testament. And the first one was in Numbers 13, talking about when they sent the scouts out to look at the new promised land. And I always got to think about, okay, they were entering the promised land. What's our promise right now? Our promise is eternal life, right? That he would write his laws on our heart, and that we would be his. We'd be able to keep his commands. We would walk with God. We would know his presence, that not only would we know he's here, but he would be with us, and we would see evidence of it. So that's the promised land today, is knowing God, it's eternal life. And so after they looked and they scouted out the land, and they saw that the land was difficult and the enemies were big, I just love what Caleb said in 13:30. He says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. So to just go into this new thing, for sure we should go and we should pursue these promises. Surely the Lord will overcome our enemies. And then in Deuteronomy 20, after or right before they're about to actually go in, a new generation is about to go in. 20 starts off with saying, when you go out into battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, because of all these promises we're talking about, if we look physically, there's a lot of reasons to doubt, right? Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. when you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And then in Joshua, we all know the, Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But at the beginning of Joshua 1:2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all his people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. And somewhere he says, you know, just as I've been with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And when I've been thinking about that lately, like, that was true, right? God was with them just as much as he was with Moses. He was with Moses in miraculous signs, right? But just thinking today, our Moses is not dead, right? Moses was a picture of Jesus. Jesus is sending us into this promised land. He's given these commands, but he's not dead, right? Like, he's alive, like, so much greater than these guys going into the promised land. They had to think back and remember how God was with them with Moses and all those stories. Our Moses is living, right? Jesus is living. And he's with us, and he sent us a helper, right? And I think about all the cycles as I'm reading through. There's all the cycles where every time one faithful king dies, the next one, you know, fails and such. But, like, that's not the case with us. The one who is faithful continues to live, and he sent us a helper. Just the last thing, you talk about the temple with Nehemiah, the temple in Chronicles. I think about Nehemiah when the walls are finished, and then they're kind of rededicating the city. They read through the law, right? The law is read out loud, and the first thing they hear is about the festival booths. And so I just get this picture of, they kind of look around each other like they heard this word. This is amazing. And the first thing it tells them to do, they go and do. And then later on, they hear about some intermarriage thing, and they discovered that they're sinning against the Lord. So quickly, boom, they, like, address it. So just as we hear the word, let's stand on the promise. Surely the Lord is going to do it for us.
Amen. Surely the Lord is going to do it for us. Yeah. We can land on that, right? What was this side of the room? And Lord, bless this side. All right.
Just as we started where you were bringing the mic, I was trying to get your attention, actually. The words from that we sang today, Jesus be the center. And I've had on my heart this week just to focus on Jesus being my center and being the center of my home and my family. And I've just had on my heart that the Lord wants us to be filled so much with the Holy Spirit in our personal time that when we come to church, we're coming to church with our overflow. And I actually had a picture that I wasn't able to share that I'll share now, that there was like a vessel. And as we came into church, we were pouring our overflow into that vessel to be poured out for anyone that had need here.
Amen. I love that. Okay, she has represented this side well. You guys are all, yeah, this is good. This is good. The Spirit's over here too. Yeah. You know what? This is beautiful. And I'm getting a picture right now as all of you are sharing. And I want us to grab hold of this. If you don't get anything else out of all that's been shared, because there's a lot there and it's awesome. But get this picture, that the body of Jesus and the church community is a place where everyone has a voice. And God can speak through any person at any time by the power of the Holy Spirit. That the church is a place where every believer has a ministry, every believer has a voice. Every believer is just as equally a recipient of the Holy Spirit of the living God as any other. And that when that Holy Spirit speaks and how that Holy Spirit speaks is unique to each individual. Everybody who shared was a little different, right? But everybody had something from the Holy Spirit to offer to the group. And this, I believe, is a picture from our days of dedication of what God wants to see happen. I think he wants to see all of us find our voice, all of us operate with the confidence. I love Brian's confidence sharing that he just did, right? Confidence. From Caleb all the way to Nehemiah. And it's like confidence that you are just as much a recipient of the Holy Spirit of the living God, and we all have something of God. If we could take the time and just go to each person, every single person in here would have something that the Holy Spirit has put in them that they could share to the benefit of the others. And we don't have time to do that, but what we saw was a sampling of what I think God wants to see us do and develop and grow, and that's a direction that I think is coming out of our days of dedication for 2025. And we're going to continue. We're not jumping back into Matthew yet. Next week, we're going to do a continuation of the conclusions of the days of dedication and the way looking forward. So we're gonna spend more time next week kind of picking up where we left off here and say, okay, where are we going forward? How do all these, and these are all recorded, what we did here today, so we can go back and listen to everything that everybody shared here today and look at it again. Now, I think it's interesting. In the text that I was sharing with you as for the dedication of the temple, that when it was over, Solomon offered up a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle, 22,000 head of cattle. It's a lot of steaks, right? And 120,000 sheep and goats. They had a festival for 7 days that went a second 7 days. And I just think of all of the burnt offerings and all of the sacrifices and all the animals that died. And what, you know, can we get some barbecues outside here? And can we do something, you know, equivalent to that? No, because we don't sacrifice anymore, because a sacrifice was done, a single sacrifice was done that's more, that is more than 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats, even if you did that every day. It doesn't compare to what God gave us as a sacrifice that's repeatable over and over and over. Yes, come on. Yes, who's clapping? Keep clapping. Understand what Jesus did when he came as the sacrifice that ends all sacrifices. We don't sacrifice anymore. We remember the sacrifice. I'm going to switch my microphone, Pete. We remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And so that's why he said, you know, whenever you come together, do so in remembrance of me, recreating me, and bringing me back into the community, because everything that we've shared and everything that we are is based on this, isn't it? It's based on the bread and the cup that that he gathered with his disciples in the upper room before he was crucified. And he said, okay, now look, he said, he took the bread off the table and he said, take this, all of you, and eat of it, because this is my body, which is going to be offered up. Not like the bulls were offered up or the lambs were offered up or anything else. He's saying, this is my body, which will be the atoning sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sin. And understand that there's a covenant that we're making, one with another, that you will bring me your sin, and I will bring you my righteousness. What kind of a trade is that? Awesome. Great. Right? What kind of a trade? You bring me your sin, and I'll pay the punishment for it, and in exchange, I'll give you my righteousness, and you will get the reward of it. I'll get the punishment for your sin, you'll get the reward. Are you, do you want this deal? All right. Then take and eat of this, all of you, for this is my body, which is given up for you. And then he took the cup, and he gave you thanks, and he gave the cup to his disciples, and he said, take and drink from this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Thank you, Jesus. Are these our volunteers? All right, come on up here, kids. Come on up. Allison, you want to come up with me? At the end of our service today, we've decided that we're going to have some little ones who have volunteered to pray for healing. And so if you come up for prayer ministry today, when the prayer ministry team is up in front here, they're going to be with the prayer ministry team. If you want specifically healing today, we want you to come over to their station. Come over here, Libby girl. All right? And they will lay their hands on you. We ask for volunteers, if anyone was down in the children's ministry who wanted to come up and pray for healing today. And so this is our healing station. That's what we're going to do. So I want the prayer ministry team to come up to the front. And we will be over here praying for healing. And the prayer ministry team will be handing out scripture promise cards to anyone who wants a scripture promise card today. So let's all stand. Lord Jesus, we ask you to anoint this area up here. Just anoint the front of the church with your living water and your healing stream. And let that rest over here and let your word come alive in the scriptures that we offer. And may the presence of the Lord and the reality of the Lord be real and in us right here today as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Everyone come on up who wants to receive prayer.